Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into the nuts and bolts of how software gets made.
Yeah, specifically looking at a couple of the big strategies teams use.
Right, we're talking trunk-based development versus feature-driven development.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, this discussion was kind of sparked by some interesting observations and ideas from Kaio Tuominen.
Exactly. We're using that as a jumping-off point to explore these wider concepts, you know, how teams actually structure their work.
So the plan is to break down what these terms actually mean, look at the pros and cons of each.
And how things like CI/CD, you know, continuous integration and delivery fit into the picture.
Our goal, to give you a clearer understanding of these different ways of working and, well, what they might mean for development teams.
Let's do it.
Okay, so first things first, can you give us the quick version? Trunk-based versus feature-driven, what's the core idea?
Sure. Think of trunk-based like one main highway. Everyone's merging onto it really frequently. Mm. Any side roads, those are feature branches. They're super short.
Okay, short detours.
Yeah. Feature-driven, on the other hand, that's more like having totally separate construction zones for different parts of a building.
Right.
They only get connected to the main structure way later when that whole part is, like, completely done.
Got it. So constant merging versus building things in isolation first. Let's dig into trunk-based first. What's the big appeal there? What's the strength?
Well, the biggest thing, I think, is the feedback loop. It's incredibly fast.
How so?
Because you're putting your code into the main line constantly, like multiple times a day, potentially. So if something breaks or doesn't work well with someone else's code, you find out fast.
Ah, okay. So you're not waiting weeks to find out your stuff clashes with somebody else's.
Exactly. You're kind of continuously checking the health of the whole system. It really cuts down on those moments where you spend days just trying to integrate two big pieces of work.
That sounds huge.
Yeah.
Fewer integration nightmares. What else?
Well, it also tends to reduce those really nasty, complex merge conflicts.
Right, because the changes are smaller.
Yeah, smaller changes, integrated often. There's just less time for the code bases to diverge wildly. And, you know, because everyone's working off the same main branch or merging into it constantly, it really forces or maybe encourages tighter team collaboration.
So people have to talk more.
Pretty much. You're sharing the same space, so you need to be aware of what others are doing. It promotes a kind of shared ownership.
And I guess reviewing code is easier, too, if it's just small bits coming in frequently.
Oh, definitely. Reviewing a small, focused change is way more manageable and, frankly, probably more effective than trying to review a giant feature branch that touches dozens of files.
Makes sense.
And maybe the most critical part for modern development, trunk-based is like the perfect setup for CI/CD.
Continuous integration, continuous delivery.
Right, because the main branch, the trunk, is always supposed to be stable and potentially releasable. This makes automating builds, tests, and even deployments much, much smoother.
So faster releases, potentially higher quality because you're always testing the integrated whole.
That's the idea. Plus, the branch and model itself is just simpler. Less juggling of lots of different branches.
Okay, so trunk-based, sounds pretty good. Speed, collaboration, CI/CD friendly. But nothing's perfect, right? What are the downsides? Where does it get tricky?
Yeah, there are definitely trade-offs. One big one is less isolation.
Meaning?
Meaning because everyone's merging into that central trunk so often, one person's change, even a small one, could potentially break the build or affect someone else's work more easily.
So if someone checks in something buggy, everyone feels the pain pretty quickly.
Potentially, yes. That's why the next point is so crucial. You absolutely need a rock-solid automated testing setup.
A safety net.
Exactly. Without really good, fast, comprehensive automated tests, trunk-based can become chaotic because you're constantly fighting fires on the main line. It puts a lot of pressure on your testing infrastructure.
Okay, so robust testing is non-negotiable. What else?
Well, sometimes you have less direct control over exactly when a specific feature goes live. Because the trunk is always moving forward, you often rely on things like feature flags or toggles to control visibility in production.
Right, so the code might be in the main branch, but hidden from users until you flip a switch.
Precisely. Also, with so many commits hitting the main branch, sometimes tracking the history of one specific feature can feel a bit noisy. Like you see lots of small incremental changes rather than one big feature complete merge. Some people call this code churn.
I can see that. less of a clear narrative for each feature sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. And honestly, it requires a lot of discipline from the team, good communication, solid practices. Everyone needs to be kind of on the same page. It might be tougher for, say, very junior teams or teams that aren't used to collaborating that closely.
So team culture and experience matter quite a bit.
They really do. And maybe, potentially, as teams get really, really large, managing the sheer volume of integrations and potential test failures on the single trunk could become a bottleneck if not managed well.
Okay, so strong emphasis on automation, discipline, and communication. Now let's flip the coin. Feature-driven development. What are the highlights there?
The absolute core strength is isolation. That's the big selling point.
So each developer or team gets their own sandbox.
Pretty much. You create a separate branch for each feature you're working on. You can work away in there, make commits, break things, fix things, all without affecting the main code base or anyone else, really.
Okay, that sounds less stressful in the short term, maybe.
It can be. It gives developers autonomy. And it makes tracking the progress of a specific feature very clear. It's all contained within that one branch. Ownership is also usually very clear.
You know who's working on what because they own the branch.
Right. And this isolation can make release planning feel a bit more flexible, or at least more controlled. You decide exactly when a feature branch is done and ready to be merged and potentially released.
So good for big features maybe, or situations where you need that clear separation.
Yeah, or if you have less experienced developers who might benefit from that safety net of isolation.
Okay, but we know there are always trade-offs.
Mm.
What's the catch with feature-driven? What are the pain points?
The big one, the classic one, merge conflicts.
Ah, yes. The longer a branch lives separately,
the more it diverges from the main branch, which is also constantly changing. So when you finally try to merge that feature branch back in, maybe weeks or even months later.
Collision course.
Exactly. You can end up with really significant, complex, time-consuming merge conflicts, what people sometimes call merge hell.
Not fun.
Definitely not. And this whole process can really slow down the final integration step. You might finish the feature coding, but then spend days just trying to get it merged cleanly.
So it can create delays right when you think you're done.
It absolutely can. And there's also just the overhead of managing all those branches.
Like keeping track of them all.
Yeah, knowing what state they're in, who's working on what, making sure they get updated with changes from the main branch periodically to try and minimize those big merge conflicts later.
Mm-hmm.
It adds administrative work.
So you trade upfront complexity, maybe, for potential downstream complexity and overhead.
That's a good way to put it. You get isolation early, but you pay for it potentially with integration pain later.
Okay, that makes the core differences pretty clear. Now, how does CI/CD look in these two worlds? The automation pipelines must be different, right?
Oh, very different, usually. With trunk-based, like we said, the focus is almost entirely on that main trunk.
So every commit to the trunk triggers a build and tests.
Typically, yes. The pipeline is constantly validating the state of the main branch. And because it's always supposed to be releasable, continuous deployment automatically deploying successful builds to production is a much more natural fit.
And feature flags become super important then.
Crucial. Because you might merge code for an unfinished feature, but you use a flag to keep it hidden from users until it's ready.
Okay. What about feature-driven CI/CD?
It's usually more distributed. You might have pipelines that run specifically on the feature branches themselves, maybe triggered when a developer pushes code to their branch.
To give them feedback within their isolated world.
Exactly. And then you often have significant automation triggered when someone creates a pull request or merge request to bring that feature branch back into the mainline.
So building and testing the proposed merge.
Right. You might also see different testing environments spun up specifically for certain feature branches.
Hmm.
Deployment strategies can also be more varied, maybe merging to a release branch first or having more manual steps involved before production.
So the automation kind of follows the branching structure. Centralized for trunk, more spread out for feature branches.
Yeah, that's a good summary.
Let's think about the practical impact. Development velocity, how fast teams can move. How did these approaches compare?
It's an interesting trade-off. Trunk-based, with its constant integration and quick feedback, often aims for a smoother, more consistent overall velocity. You might spend less time bogged down in huge merges.
So maybe fewer big roadblocks.
Potentially. The flow can be more continuous. Feature-driven might feel faster for the individual developer working on their isolated feature initially.
Because they're not dealing with integration issues right away.
Right. But then you can hit those bottlenecks later during the merge phase, which can really slam the brakes on overall progress. So it's kind of steady stream versus bursts and potential pauses.
Okay. What about team collaboration? We touched on this, but how does it feel day to day?
Trunk-based really forces or encourages that constant communication and shared ownership. You have to be aware of what others are merging. It fosters a we're all in this together kind of vibe.
More talking, more coordination needed.
Definitely. Feature-driven with its clear branch ownership can sometimes lead to teams or individuals being a bit more siloed during the main development phase. Collaboration becomes more focused around the merge event itself.
So clear individual responsibility, but maybe less continuous cross-pollination of ideas?
That can happen, yeah. It depends on the team culture, of course, but the structure itself lends itself to more isolated work initially.
And risk. How do they stack up for managing risk?
Trunk-based is all about early risk detection. Because you integrate small pieces frequently, problems, bugs, integration issues tend to surface much sooner in the CI pipeline.
Smaller changes, smaller potential blast radius if something goes wrong, and you find it faster.
Exactly. Feature-driven isolates risk within the feature branch, which is good. Well, if a feature branch has problems, it doesn't immediately destabilize the main code base. But the risk is that when you finally do merge, you might be merging a larger set of changes with potentially bigger, more complex problems that have been hidden for a while. The risk is deferred and potentially amplified.
Early and often versus contained, but potentially larger later.
Got it. Now let's zoom out a bit. There's this idea, Conway's Law. How does the way an organization is structured actually impact the software it builds?
Ah, yeah, Conway's Law. It's fascinating and often quite true. The Bethic idea, put simply, is that organizations tend to design systems that mirror their own communication structures.
Okay, what does that mean in practice? Well, imagine an organization with very rigid silos. You have a separate UI team, a back-end team, a database team, maybe a QA team. They all work somewhat independently.
Pretty common structure in some places.
Right. Conway's Law suggests that this kind of organization will likely produce software with similarly distinct boundaries. The UI talks to the back end through a specific API. The back end talks to the database. The system architecture reflects the team structure.
And making changes might require handoffs between all these teams.
Often, yes. It can lead to slower processes and integration challenges because the software itself is sort of siloed like the teams. Now, contrast that with an organization structured around cross-functional teams.
Where you have UI folks, back-end folks, testers, maybe designers, all working together on a specific product feature or business capability.
Exactly. That kind of structure often leads to software architectures that are maybe more integrated, perhaps microservices aligned with those business capabilities, where a single team owns a vertical slice of functionality.
So the team structure can actually push you towards certain architectural patterns and maybe influence which development methodology feels more natural.
Absolutely. A highly siloed org might naturally gravitate towards feature branches because it mimics their separated way of working. A cross-functional team might find trunk-based development a more natural fit for their collaborative style.
Wow. So it's not just a technical choice. It's deeply linked to how the humans are organized. You need to align the team structure and the desired architecture.
It's a really crucial point that often gets overlooked. Okay, now let's talk about another huge factor changing everything, AI. Artificial intelligence. How's that fitting into the software development picture?
Yeah, it feels like AI tools are everywhere now. What are developers actually using AI for today?
Well, the most visible impact right now is probably with AI coding assistance. Tools like, you know, GitHub Copilot, Amazon Q Developer, Cursor, Codeium AI, lots of them popping up.
And what do they do? Just write code for you?
Not quite just write code, but they assist in many ways. They can suggest code completions, help refactor existing code to make it cleaner or more efficient, generate documentation based on the code, help you figure out how to use a library you're not familiar with.
So like a superpowered autocomplete and coding partner?
Kind of, yeah. They can also be great for generating boilerplate code, like setting up basic file structures or writing unit test stubs. And they're getting surprisingly good at searching large code bases, asking questions like, where is user authentication handled?
That sounds genuinely useful for productivity.
It really can be. We're also seeing AI play a role in what's sometimes called code ops, basically using AI to help manage and reuse code components more effectively across teams.
Okay, that's the now. What about the near future? What's coming next with AI in development?
Well, people are exploring much more advanced applications. Think about AI that can help personalize user experiences by learning user behavior, or AI that predicts where code needs refactoring for better performance or maintainability before it becomes a problem.
Proactive refactoring suggestions. Interesting.
Yeah, or AI applied to DevOps AI ops, predicting potential infrastructure issues or optimizing deployment pipelines, using natural language processing to better translate requirements into actual code specifications, even AI-assisted code reviews that go beyond simple style checks to spot potential logical flaws.
That sounds incredibly powerful. But are there limits? Is AI ready to take over coding completely?
Oh, definitely not yet. While these tools are amazing pattern matchers and great at automating repetitive tasks, they still lack genuine human creativity, deep contextual understanding, and, you know, common sense reasoning.
They can't invent truly novel solutions out of thin air.
Not really. They're working based on the vast amounts of code they've been trained on. They struggle with complex nuances or requirements that aren't well defined. They're assistants, powerful ones, but still assistants.
So more like a co-developer than a replacement.
Exactly. The trajectory seems to be towards AI becoming an even more integrated partner in the development process, handling more of the routine tasks and providing insights, but leaving the core creative problem-solving and architectural decisions to humans.
Okay, so AI is a powerful tool, increasingly integrated, but human developers are still very much in the driver's seat. Bringing this all back together then, trunk-based, feature-driven, organizational structure AI. How does a team actually choose the right development approach?
It really comes down to context. There's no single best answer. You have to look at several factors.
Like what?
Well, team size and experience is a big one. Small, experienced, co-located teams with good communication might find trunk-based easier to adopt. Larger, distributed, or less experienced teams might lean towards the safety of feature branches initially.
Okay, team dynamics matter. What else?
Project complexity. Is it a tightly coupled monolith or a set of independent microservices? Frequent integration, like in trunk-based, might be more beneficial for complex interconnected systems. More modular systems might handle feature branches better.
Makes sense. How often you need to release?
Crucial. If you're aiming for continuous delivery, releasing multiple times a day or a week, trunk-based is almost essential. If you have less frequent planned release cycles, feature-driven might offer more control over coordinating those releases.
And quality. Testing.
Absolutely key. Trunk-based demands mature, reliable, fast automated testing. If your test suite isn't up to scratch, trunk-based can be painful. Feature-driven gives you more time, perhaps, but you still need good testing before merging. And finally, your overall infrastructure maturity. Huh. How comfortable are you with CI/CD, feature flags, automated rollbacks? That plays a big role, too.
So it's a whole constellation of factors.
Yeah.
Team, project, release cadence, quality needs, infrastructure.
Exactly. You need to weigh them all up for your specific situation.
Okay, let's try and summarize this deep dive then. We've looked at trunk-based development.
Focused on frequent integration to a main branch, fast feedback, simpler branching, great for CI/CD, but needs strong discipline and testing.
Right, and feature-driven development.
Which uses isolated branches for features, giving autonomy and clearer tracking, potentially more flexible release timing, but risks complex merges and integration delays.
We also touched on how your organization's structure can shape your software, thanks to Conway's Law.
And the massive wave of AI tools that are changing how developers write, test, and manage code, acting more and more like co-developers.
So the final thought for our listeners.
Maybe it's this. Think critically about your context. How is your team structured? What are the real needs of your project? How mature is your automation? And how are you thinking about leveraging AI? Answering those questions honestly will help guide you towards whether trunk-based, feature-driven, or maybe even some kind of hybrid approach is the right path to help your team deliver better software, faster, and perhaps even enjoy the process a bit more.
Aligning your process with your people, your product, and your tools. Sound advice.